Good morning, diners and travelers. You're listening to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig. And we found the Ireland I've always read about and finally got to see by driving all the way north. Any further would have been in the ocean.
Yes.
So, where were we, Rabbit?
Well, we were just outside the city of Derry, which is half in the Republic of Ireland and half in the Northern Ireland part of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, a troublesome area for a long time. In fact, I guess it's been a troublesome area politically or militarily going back to way before BC, as we discovered while we were there. But the principal reason for going was the people that we met in Galway and several other places on our trip said, your trip to Ireland is not complete unless you meet Harry's Bar's owner, Donald Doherty. Well, we were a little...
Harry's Bar, we always think of as Venice, but yeah. It's not in Venice, it's in a show.
Well, actually, it's Harry's restaurant, and Harry's Bar is a slightly different establishment.
Okay.
But anyway, it was a fascinating story. It was a long ride, but a fascinating story and well worth the trip, and we met one of the most enchanting...
Adore. Yes. If you're listening, Donald, we love you.
Here we go. Ann says I'm dangerous. But every now and then I get the microphone first. And here's the story, folks. Last Wednesday, we didn't even know about Harry's Bar in Northern Ireland, or the northern of Ireland, shall we say. We thought Harry's Bar was in Venice, or we thought Harry's Bar was in London. It turns out Harry's Bar near Derry, in the province of Derry in Northern Ireland, and when I say North, I should say North Ireland, for 30 or 40 years or so, and only now did we discover it. And it's about 200 kilometers out of the way, but we're glad we did. Now here's Ann to talk to Harry himself, not really Harry, you'll find out, about what I experienced.
With everything in this part of Ireland, the scenery is breathtaking. The product is just like, it's so pristine you wouldn't even leave it. And we have met somebody who applies all of this with a great deal of intelligence to his family business. And we're going to be talking to Donald Doherty, which is to tell us, Donald, about this historic name, who is the proprietor of Harry's Bar. And we're in a show, and you're going to also tell us what that means, peninsula. Just start with, what is some of the background? How long has this been here?
Well, you're both very welcome, and delighted to welcome you to Inishowen, which is a very historic part of Ireland. And my surname, Doherty, would be one of the ruling clans of this region. Earlier, I took you up to Ingrenan Castle, Ingrenan Fort, which is like 6,000 years old, and... In Greenan Fort, there was once a prince called Owen of the O'Neill ruling clan of Ulster. And after Owen, we have Inishowen, which is the isle. And people will recognise that the very most northern tip of Ireland, if you look on a map, is actually looks like an island. So it juts out at the top. And we're at the base of the peninsula. And the idea of this restaurant has been to reinvent itself over the last 10 years, basically sourcing everything from within that little small peninsula, a concept we call Made in Inishowen. And by that I mean we only use fish straight off Greencastle's or local port, so whatever fish they catch writes our fish menus. We buy in rare breeds and native breeds of cattle, so we have Tamworths, we have Saddlebacks in pork, all outdoor reared. We also buy off a farm just 2 miles up the road beside the local hotel, old breed Dexters, which are a very rare old sort of half-size cow, for want of a word, beef cow. And these are unique because they're much lighter and softer on the ground, so they can stay outside and eat grass much longer than normal animals.
Do you eat those? I saw them. I didn't know what they were.
There's actually one had a calf about 3 days ago, and the calf is no bigger than the average family dog. It is the cutest thing you will ever see. You wouldn't believe that a cow could actually be that small. We not only eat them, we celebrate them. We eat every part of them. We literally buy whole animals, and we every part ourselves. We hang everything. And that provides us with some of the best meats in Ireland to go along with some of the best fish in Ireland. And about 3 years ago, we started a growing project. We took over an old wall garden. And that's expanded into now three gardens. So we have 2.5 acres of our own vegetables. So every vegetable you're going to eat in here, we've grown ourselves in an organic way. So going back to that concept of made in Inishowen, that's just what you've experienced, and that's everything on those I've given you has come within the island of Owen, Inishowen.
You took us to this. You're going to pronounce this. I'm not going to pronounce this. This round prehistoric structure that was just so wonderful, and it's inspired other structures in the area, and it hints at a very old history of the area. And there are all kinds of other things as well to do here. Just give us a taste of what it's like to be in this part of the country, which most people don't get to because it's a little out of the way. And here's the reason why they...
Well, first, when you stand up at Ngreenan, I think you get appreciation, first of all, for the region. Mountains of Mount Errigal, muckish on the skylines. You look down, there are two famous lochs, Loch Swilly, Loch Foyle, and they provide the kind of natural water barriers of Inishowen. So you're getting a feel for the geography of what we're trying to create. You actually get a whole view of Inishowen. Not only that, from the same hill you can see 9 counties of Ireland, most of the Ulster counties, and right down to Sligo from one spot. I mean, there's very few in Ireland. That's why that actual fortress was an old High King's seat for the O'Neills and for other clans, O'Neills and O'Neills. It was, in the 2nd century, one of only 5 locations on an Irish map done by Alexander originally, an old Greek map. So the history here... There's another thing here that the Dohertys, my clan, were known as the most stubborn clan in Ireland. And I think there's a stubbornness about the restaurant now in terms of, well, actually, we need the immigrants. We don't need kitted or frozen X, Y, and Z that a lot of people rely on. Instead, we recognize, well, actually, Ireland's in an economic difficulty. So let's put on our green jerseys. Let's support the local farmers, the local fishermen, and keep this flavor, or create this local flavor, I think, is what we're trying to do. In the restaurant that's here, very accessible for locals. Because the other thing you'll discover about this part of the world is the value for money. Like, you're in a restaurant here, and it's families, and it's young people, and it's a very accessible restaurant. You know, people come here, you know, at any time, they can just call in. It's not trying to be posh, or it's not trying to be a restaurant in another part of the world. It's just a local flavor identity that we're trying to create ourselves.
Now, you really, I don't know where to start with this one. You have not always been here. I mean, you were born and raised here, and then you lived around the world. You traveled around the world. You did corporate business in the U.S., lived all over the place, and then came back to deal with the family business. You were not a chef, you tell me. But then you say you source all the product, you supervise the organic garden, you direct the bedding and everything else, and then you lead and direct a coterie, a kitchen coterie of talented chefs. I mean, or cook. I don't know what that means, why you're not called a chef. But anyway, we have had Mark, who was the person who cooked us tonight, just mention... Comment on all this that you do and still manage the business, and then also about the talent of this chef we had tonight.
I suppose you've described all that, and thank you. I'm lucky in that I'm also surrounded by good people. Now, I work at this 7 days a week, but I get a thrill on a Monday morning ringing into this and see who's coming in on Monday morning as we restock fridges, what other days the boat's coming in and out. I get a thrill when the beef farmer tells me that Dexter's brilliant right now. You know, this is the time of the year you should be taking this in. There's a guy just actually walked in here, and I'm going to show you in a second. He's just left in a box of wild mushrooms. I mean, you know, he just loves to be associated with this. The fishermen love to be associated by this. And there's a buzz, to be honest, in dealing with genuinely great, lovely, humble people who just love to do what they do for a living. I'm privileged that 12 years ago, this restaurant used to send direct debits and checks off to big companies in other parts of Ireland, whereas now I literally hand check some money to local farmers and local fishermen, and they all come and support me. And what we've built up here is something much more basic in many ways, more real. You know, I used to work in big companies, including British Airways, and it didn't feel real, even though you were dealing in millions of pounds. You never seen a pound, or you never got to give that pound to anybody else. Does that make sense? Whereas here, you can really make an impact in this region. And not only that, some chefs do come and do go, so now other restaurants around here have improved. They're raising their game. The West of Ireland is raising its game. The traditional tourist route was maybe come into Dublin or Shannon and head towards Cork. Whereas like yourselves, more and more are going seeking that, well, real Ireland maybe, or less touristy Ireland. And when they come here, that's what they find. But you're surrounded today by 99% local people, not tourists or...
The food we ate was like, I don't know where to put the starting point, but it was, I would say it's like among the top meals that we've ever had. And we're in the most remote part of Ireland. And the chef is it Mark Cubany?
Gibney.
I don't know how you manage that, but I think it would be really interesting for our listeners for you to just go through some of the food we had, which was so extraordinary, not only in the product itself, which is pristine and fabulous, but in the preparation, the execution of. Tell us, come on.
Well, we treated you and many others who come to visit us. We do a menu which we describe as no menu. And the concept there is two things, really. First of all, we encourage you not to look at it. So we obviously check for dietary things and things you mightn't like. But then we lent to you literally what's come in the kitchen in the last 24 hours or what we think is best. And we also throw it open to the chefs that they always have to create a new menu. So you're not allowed to have a dish that you've had before. And that means every week you come here, you're going to have something different. And tonight, and we base the menu, by the way, on our strengths, which are the meats, the fish, the vegetables. So we opened you up with what we call a harvest plate, which is literally the vegetables. And that included lovely baby turnips that were salt-baked. You had two different types of beetroot. You had a torpedo red onion.
I have to interrupt you because Peter said he would never be able to have another turnip again because this one was so good. Now continue.
They are special, but they're a baby turnip, those are. So they're very special. Something we can grow that because we grow things ourselves. We can grow things that would normally not be seen as maybe economic to grow. And that's one of the joys, the freedom the garden gives us. So we had the baby turnips, two different types of beetroots, the torpedo red onions, which were caramelized. They're gorgeous onions. Broccoli head plus Romanesco broccoli. There was also some broccoli puree and a yukuri squash on that plate as well, along with some turnip leaves and the Romanesco puree. So that's introducing you to the idea that on the concept here is to bring more vegetables onto the menu, but also that the vegetables themselves can create dishes on their own. And that isn't a concept, you know, unique globally, but in Ireland, we tended to lead strong with potatoes and meat. You know, that's what we were famous for. But there's something going on in Ireland that we're changing that, you know. Not just ourselves, but, you know, you've met Enda McAvoy down in Galway, and there's other chefs, lots of us now, that appreciate, A, that we can grow a lot more varieties of vegetables than we, you know, have done in the last 20 years. That we're open, like our old wall garden used to grow the different types of vegetables only 30 years ago. Now we're growing 250 types of vegetables. So that trying to showcase those. You also timed it really nicely because the second dish we gave you, it's Queenie scallop season. Now Queenie scallops have to be the sweetest scallops going. And these are net caught Queenie scallops. Just landed into Greencastle there on Friday night. And we've served those very simply. Pan fried, maybe 40 seconds each side, and with a nice hazelnut crumb. And again, we served some nice wee produce from the garden around that. They have to be the sweetest scallops you're ever going to have. Then, in keeping with Greencastle and the local seafood, we've given you a nice big black sole, otherwise known as Dover sole. And of course, you can only really cook that in the to keep its flavour and moisture and beautiful fish. And there, we've twinned that up with some beetroot butter, which basically comes around from us having a little bit too much beetroot this summer, and somebody had the idea of mixing the beetroot into the butter, creating a lovely earthy butter that leads to a beautiful melt on top of the Dover sole as you get it, which presentation-wise makes that lovely, and dress that plate with some more broccoli head and some more Romanesco. Very simple. Again, like the other two dishes before it, 100% of those ingredients from our little Island of Owen, Inishowen. And then we took you on to a meat course. We can't let you go out of Donegal without meat and potatoes. We've got to sneak them in somewhere. So we have some mountain lamb. It's an organic lamb. And this one lives quite high up on a heather-style hill, which are famous around Ireland. These hills drain very well. So this lamb is able to stay outdoors more often instead of being in like a boggy field. You know, Ireland does get wet in the winter. This lamb's able to feed off the heather on the hills, so you're supposed to get some of that flavour. And we buy that straight off the farmer. We hang the whole animal for 10 days before we touch it, and then we butcher it ourselves. And that's why we gave you cuts today of a slow-cooked confit of belly of lamb. We gave you some fillet and some loin to give you that kind of contrast in cooking styles, but also the contrast in cuts and tenderness. And we served that with some salt-baked turnip, chut, kales in season. So we did some sauté kale and we did some crispy kale. And then again, we had some carrot and broccoli. So you're getting a sense of the seasons when you see all that because of how we grow and how we source. And I guess that makes us trying to do sometimes as little as possible, but at the same time, you know, just the most in those flavors.
Hello, you missed dessert, which Peter had both his and mine.
I think we needed to start going easy on you there. So we just did a very simple creme brulee. One of the creme brulees just had orange through it, and the second creme brulee just had a sugar syrup through it, and like a honey sugar syrup through that. So a very light finish to your meal.
Well, and what a meal it was. I have to say that the website is, I don't know why you wouldn't be able to find it, listeners, but it's basically www.harrys.ie, and you can get all the details of times of operations and so forth. But the real thing to do is to just get on the stick and find out how and when you can get here, because it is like a wonderful experience, and I think you're going to hit it before it starts totally erupting. I think that it's going to come a really major draw for tourists everywhere, or culinary tourists or travelers, that, and also for the interest in the archaeology and the history of this region. Honestly, Donald, I don't know what else to say except that it was just absolutely splendid, and it was worth this. Now, give us one last word here.
It has honestly been my pleasure. You have been the loveliest guests. Like, if anyone comes to this region, they can find me, Donald, by the email. And basically, we'd like to spoil any night of the week somebody with the no menu. If they're going to make the effort to come to us, we want to reciprocate and make sure they leave with the exact same impression that you leave, and help us tell the world about this region and its food. So thank you both.
Well worth any detour.
And we'll be back right after a short break.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Well, here we are again, and our next stop was in Enniscoe, and we were really pleased to meet Susan Kellett and her son DJ, and to hear the history of this estate where we stayed, and also all the activities. I couldn't get my head around all that this couple does, and with this property, which was, I believe it was 200 acres.
Well, you'll have to listen to the interview.
Yes,
all over
Susan
again.
And DJ tell us some of what they're up to.
Well, the interesting thing is that it also proves the concept that in Ireland and England, Wales and Scotland and other European countries for that matter, not only are there great places to stay along the way, but there are great places to stop along the way. So we made a short stay, but wished we'd had more time to be able to enjoy everything going on at Enniscoe House, just outside the little town of Ballina. I'm not sure how it's pronounced, but Ballina.
I'm looking out the window from the drawing room. It is just the most stunning landscape. And right smack in the middle of this is a house called Enniscoe House, which is now for part of the year open to the public. Actually, you'll explain all the rules of that. You, in this case, we're talking to Susan Kellett and her son, DJ, and they run this house. Susan, you grew up here part of the time. Tell us a little bit about this house, where we are, how you got involved with it, and then we'll let DJ explain growing up in the house, giving tours, I understand, for tips. Let's start with you.
Well, I wasn't actually born in this house. It belonged to a cousin of my father's. But my mother's family had a holiday house down the other end of the lake. We're in North County Mayo, and we're looking out the window at Loch Conn, which is it's a big lake. It's 9 miles long by about 4 miles, an average broad. And my mother's family had a little holiday house down the other end at Pontoon. And we used to come up as children, myself and my brother and my parents, and visit the elderly cousin, Mervyn Pratt, he was called. His portrait is there over the mantelpiece. And I remember him as a rather bad-tempered old man who didn't really like small children. And I was never sure why we were taken out of our entertaining holiday and made to come to tea and sit politely. But however, in due course, all was revealed because he left the property to my father. Now, he partly did that because he realized that my mother, who was born and bred not very far away from here, would make a great effort to keep the house. And indeed, that was the case. Inheriting a house in the west of Ireland in the 1950s was not very good news. Farming did not make money. And as my father was a professor of veterinary medicine, and he used to say that he earned the money in Dublin to lose it in Mayo. And that was the reason he kept it. But they did keep it, and they battled on through the years. My brother took it on, but he's a fine art specialist, and in the early 1980s, he decided that it was not something he could do. The property was going to go onto the market, and I was here with my small son, DJ, who's rather large now, but was just a baby. And I felt that if I was looking for something to do, why wouldn't I live in a lovely Georgian house on the shores of a lake in County Mayo? And why wouldn't people want to come and visit and stay here? So it seemed to me that the way to go was to retain some of the land, obviously, to make, because it's a setting for the house, and to take guests. And so we started in the early 1980s. It took me, I suppose, longer to get established and going than I thought it would. And, of course, one of the first things to do was to get new mattresses for the beds and put in new bathrooms. And, of course, as the years went on, you had to replace all these things and you had to have power showers and various other things. But I've tried very hard, and DJ has joined with me in this, in keeping the house very much as it was, so that people coming to stay here feel that they're staying in a family home.
Well, DJ, you've had a great deal of input into things now that you're all grown up. You explained to me, or described to me a little ago, how you envisioned the experience of an ESCO house. Can you repeat some of that?
I suppose ENESCO is slightly different than anything else in the sense that we want you to feel that you're coming into somebody's home as opposed to a hotel. Made certain decisions throughout the years to try and make the experience of coming into a Georgian house relaxing. For instance, there's no TVs in the bedrooms, no newspapers around the house, and there's no tea or coffee making facilities in the bedrooms for the guests. We'd like you to interact with us as much as possible. The simple reason being that we feel that ENESCO is a place where you can get away from modern day trends and the stress of modern day life. So when you walk into the house, immediately you can start to relax and unwind and step away from the kind of hustle and bustle of the life that all this electronic world has around us.
I just wanted to add, though, that we are actually doing this technologically at this point, so that don't feel, listeners, that when you come, you need to unplug, because you do have access to the Internet and all those things that you can't live without anymore. But go ahead.
That is a fair point. I suppose the house is all about an experience. I mean, it is a Georgian house. It's not a hotel. It's somebody's home. Was built roughly around 1740. That's at the back of the house. It was a three-story house over a basement. And the front of the house was added on in 1798, which is a two-story house. And it was wrapped around the original house. The reason why it was only two stories is because the family came into money at that stage and they wanted to show off with these grand rooms. So there's these three main reception rooms on the ground floor and the three large bedrooms upstairs.
Really feel transported no matter what by 20-foot ceilings, which is a luxury nobody could afford anymore, having a house with the 20-foot ceilings. And it's filled with antiques. Are these original antiques, Susan?
Particularly the portraits. They're all family portraits. In the front hall, there is a very grand portrait of a very grand gentleman called Sir Audley Mervyn. He's an ancestor. He was a Speaker of the Irish House of Commons in the 1640s, and he was quite well known, and he made a lot of speeches. And if you want something to send you to sleep very rapidly, try reading one of his speeches. However, he wouldn't have actually lived in this house. He would have been in other family properties, but this is the only family place left, and so he's ended up in County Mayo. In the room we're sitting in, there are various portraits. The one over the sideboard behind us is Colonel George Jackson. The first family who came here was a Francis Jackson. He was an officer in Cromwell's army, and he got a grant of land in North Mayo. And he settled here, and the family never... they had a substantial grant of land, which, of course, over the years has dwindled down, and we now have just on 200 acres, which is very nice for now, because it means the house is very well protected. The land runs down to the lake. We have quite a section of lake shore. We own some of the islands immediately out. So nobody's going to build close to us. And when you come in the front gates of Enniscore, you come up the front avenue, all laid out in the before 1820. And it curves around so that when you come in the entrance and you come up a little bit, you see the house. But you go on a little bit further and you don't see the house. And you don't see the house again till you've turned the last corner, and there it is, a pink house sitting there with trees behind it, and the big mountain. And then you arrive at the front door and you're looking at the lake.
I mean, you talk about experience, did you? This is just, I don't know, it just makes me happy to just even look out the windows, and also all the details in the interior. There are many things to do here, however. Could you run through some of the activities on the property?
Well, there's the ornamental garden, which has been restored by Susan, my mother. It must have been 15 years ago now. Sorry. And I remember as a small child going in there trying to save trees because it had overgrown so much. Basically, what had happened when Major Mervyn Pratt died in 1950, the door was closed and it became dormant. I mean, there was fully grown trees in there. There was brambles and briars and God knows what else. And we had to basically go in and clean out all the rubbish and see what original plants were left. And then, you know, take cuttings from them and find the layout, the original layout of the garden. And we think we've restored it back to about 1905, 1910, using first-hand accounts and photographs from people that had them in the locality. And moving into the orchard, the old orchard, we have the organic garden. And that's been producing vegetables for the house for quite a few years now. And we've just recently built what we fondly call as a garden shed. Slightly bigger than a garden shed. And we hope to put on courses for teaching people how to grow organically. There's also the looped walks around the grounds. We originally had just one. And this winter just gone, we upgraded the paths and added two more loops on to the original loop. And put down a hardcore surface to make it easier to travel around the grounds and that. There's also the Heritage Centre there, where if your family is from North Mayo, you can do genealogy research and find out where your roots are from in the area. Also in the Heritage Centre, there's an old farmyard and household museum, a shop, tea rooms. And there's also the blacksmith, where we do the blacking courses for beginners and advanced. And they usually run 5 days. And we try and do 2 to 3 courses a year, dependent on the demand for the courses.
Now, this is also an area where there are a lot of opportunities for hunting and fishing. Can you arrange those kinds of things for guests? So even though they're not on the property, but they're available close by, I'm sure.
The fishing is very easy to organize. We are on the shores of Loch Conn. It's great for trout fishing and some salmon. He's local by definition, in the sense that he's an Englishman who moved here many moons ago by the name of Ian Wise, and he gillies on the lake and has quite a few boats there, and he will bring out all the guests. There is horse riding nearby in Ballina, very good riding stables. There's some great around as well, especially for fans of the Lynx courses. There's one out in Belmullet and another one in Enniscrone, all within an hour's drive. We do shoots in the end of the season, one in December, one in January.
Well, now, and this brings us up to the scheduling a little bit here, Susan. Two things. The scheduling, when you're open, but what you open for, the number of people for a private party and so forth. But I also wanted to talk, since both you and your son are formerly trained culinarians, and what you get here is wonderful country Irish cooking as well. Tell us first about your hours, and secondly about how you got into the culinary field.
Well, we open usually at the beginning of April. It may vary a bit depending on when Easter is, and you know, perhaps we might have a booking for St. Patrick's weekend, which is around the 17th of March. But usually the beginning of April, and we stay open till the end of October. Now, during the other months, we do group bookings, perhaps a house party, perhaps over New Year, but we're not open unless it's pre-booked at that stage. Whereas from April to October, we're here and we're doing dinner, bed and breakfast, and always glad to see everybody. The cooking here, or how I cook and how DJ cooks, is what I would call country house cooking rather than restaurant cooking. And of course, the person in Ireland who really promoted country house cooking is Myrtle Allen, and then followed by her daughter-in-law Dairina and all the rest of the Allen family. And in fact, I've always interested in cooking and always did it. But when I first opened the house in the early 1980s, people would say to me, "Where did you learn to cook?" So I thought, well, perhaps I better go somewhere and be able to say. to say where I had been. So, in fact, Darina was starting her cookery school then, and I was able to go to some of her early cookery courses. And I must say, learning to cook, they were great, great fun. And it was the very early days of the cookery school. It's all got bigger, more successful, and more formal since then. But we did have fun, and we did learn to cook.
Of course, of Ballymaloe, which is world famous, so that they certainly have grown a lot since the early days, drawing students from all over the globe. For example, is on the menu tonight. I also forgot to ask you, you have local cheeses, and we had some at tea time. What were those?
Well, one of the cheeses you had is Carahouli cheese, which comes from Westport, just outside Westport. Some of the other ones would be West of Ireland cheeses, but not necessarily from County Mayo. Well, dinner tonight. I've just done the menu. We have a warm salad of scallops and smoked bacon. That'll be on a bed of the lettuce fresh from the garden, and there'll be rocket and various other lettuce leaves in it, and of course fresh herbs. The scallops would come from Killybegs, and the smoked bacon would be local as well. We also have a twice baked cheese souffle on, and we have a carrot and cumin soup. The carrots have come from the garden. For the main courses, we have chicken in mustard and orange sauce, which is a favorite of ours here at Enniscoe. And we have salmon, that's local salmon with a lemon cream sauce. And as the season that's in it, we have a blackberry and apple crumble. The blackberries have been in spots this year. And we also have a cake, which is sandwiched with chocolate mousse. I made the cake, and DJ has rolled it because I'm very bad at rolling a cake.
Actually, DJ, you also went to Ballymaloe for a couple of short courses and then the full-blown full course. But you're telling me you're a good time, of course, but you're telling me that you really, by inclination and interest, are more a free chef, huh?
Yeah, I must say I have a much more affinity to making desserts than I would do going for the main courses or even the soups or the starters. I think one of the first recipes I ever had was a chocolate brownie recipe, which I found out of the back of the instruction manual for a mixer that Mum had bought for me. And it became one of my favorite recipes. I still make it today. And I must say, it's probably one of them in the place, because the day after I make them, they're gone. Over the years, I've gone through various kind of favorite recipes. At the moment, it really is my sticky toffee pudding with a hot toffee sauce recipe, which I actually learnt down in Ballymaloe when I did the 3-month course down there. And I must say, it really is a fabulous dessert. I really tend to stick towards more of the cakes. I do like the cakes. There was a chocolate and hazelnut cake that I did for a while. I do experiment with the chocolate brownie mix and make them into cakes and things like that with various different fillings as well.
Nobody's going to go hungry when they're here either.
Okay, so the next thing we have to do is say, well, how do you get here, and where would you be going? So the first piece of information, Susan, I'm going to ask you is to just articulate the website, and then perhaps you can explain where travelers might be coming from or going to when they make a stop here at Enniscoe.
Which DJ looks after, and it's just been newly redone, www.enniscoe.com. There's a number of pages up on that explaining about the different things, about the accommodation and the house itself. We have three self-catering apartments in the courtyard behind the house, and they're very popular with families. And we have information, obviously, about the gardens and the heritage centre and the various activities. I suppose the main way that people would find us were in leading guidebooks, but we are members of Ireland's Blue Book, and that would be the principal one. We'd be listed in the Good Hotel Guide, Alice Asordes, various other ones. But I think the thing to say is that you won't find us. If you go looking for us as a hotel or a guest house, you won't find us. We're approved by the Irish Tourist Board as a historic house with rooms. They have a heading. They call it specialist accommodation. And that's because, as we've already said, it's a family home. It's not a hotel or a guest house, and we try to keep that atmosphere. But one of the things about that is that means we have a small number of bedrooms in the house. There are six bedrooms in the house, three in what we call the new house, which dates from the 70s, 90s, and three in the old house, dating from the 1740s.
If we hadn't come by a roundabout route, it would have taken us only 45 minutes to get here. If we were going to the north, we would be in Sligo in about the same length of time, I'm guessing. And you can crisscross this area from east to west as well as north to south, as I've just described it. It seems to us that, disappointingly, we will only be here for one night. We wish we could be here for several days so we could enjoy more of the wonderful weather, which ranges from drenching rainstorm to beautiful sunny blue skies, which is what we're looking at out the window right now. This is a taste of Ireland. This is a taste of Irish history. Even if you don't have Irish history of your own to find, it's going to be a good place for you to connect to this very beautiful and graceful land.
Well, thank you for saying that, because we do feel that this is a very special area. It's not very well. It's not a traditional tourist area. And we do have magnificent scenery. We do have a lot of things for you to do around the place. As we've talked earlier about all the things that you can do at Enniscoe itself, within an hour's drive, there are wonderful coasts. You're at the sea. You can go to Downpatrick Head, look at the great blowholes and the great cliffs, visit the Cager Fields. You can go on some excellent golf courses, the Lynx courses. And we hope that many more people will find us and come and visit us in County Mayo, and come and stay in our house, Enniscoe House, on the shores of Loch Hon.
And we'll be back with more adventures in West of Ireland right after this short break.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Next up, we're doing Old Ground, which it really is, talking to owner Alan Flynn about the history of the place and everything that they do there. And boy, if you're a lady in a bridge club, that's the place to go.
It is, isn't it? A horde of silverhaired bridge players arrived just as we were there. But it's a charming hotel in a charming town.
Plenty of space.
And an ideal place to explore the county of Clare, which may not be the most interesting county in Ireland, although a lot of people would argue that it is. It's certainly probably, in our experience, the prettiest.
It's so pretty.
With a delicacy about the scenery that is quite the opposite of what you will find in Northern Ireland, our last stop on our tour. So first of all, here's Alan Flynn, who's the owner and manager of the Old Ground Restaurant in Ennis.
We've been having a grand old time in Old Ground Hotel, which is one of several properties owned by a very popular man, hotelier Alan Flynn. Alan, everyone recognizes you when we mention Flynn Hotels. You have several of them, which you can tell us about. But they also seem to be on great personal terms with you, because they always say, "Oh, that's Alan." Tell us, first of all, what are your properties and how you got into the hotel, your business?
I suppose really when you say that, the first thing about the family business is that it's very much a personal family business that we run. My parents both grew up in Leitrim, which is in the north, just on the northern border here in Ireland, in the 1930s, and emigrated to New York in 1950, and then actually ended up coming back to Ireland in 1960, where they purchased a very small hotel in Dungarvan in County Waterford, which is 2 hours away from here, from Ennis. And they were basically the returned immigrants back to Ireland, and they had five young boys. And between the seven of us, we basically ran this 35-bedroomed hotel. So without any academic training in the industry, I learned from a very hard taskmaster. But the one thing I did learn from my parents is that everything about the hotel business is all about personable service. And I'd like to think that that's kind of carried through with ourselves. And basically, we've gone from the one hotel then in Dungarvan in the 1960s to the four pieces that we have now in Kilkenny, Cork, Waterford, and here where we are today then in Ennis.
And I suppose you can go on the internet and just say Flynn Hotels Ireland and find out all about all these hotels?
That's right, yes. We're very fortunate that the hotels are in very good locations, which would have a mix of a local business, corporate business, and certainly a tourist business. Certainly the American market would be very strong in each of the properties. As I said, Kilkenny, Cork, Waterford, and Clare, you're going to come across the Flynn Hotel there someplace in the south.
Now, this hotel, Old Ground Hotel, has a fabulous long history, which you can read about from the hotel information sheet. Just briefly, it was a private estate.
That's right. It was built, it was a private estate right up into 1895, which is exactly 114 years ago that it actually opened as a hotel. And as I like to tell our customers, if we haven't got it right after 114 years, but it basically was actually, it was actually a parochial house in the town of Ennis up until that time. And it was actually surrounded by both a prison, and it was a farming, some farm buildings, and also the town hall. So the hotel that we're in here, the Old Ground, is actually a combination of four different buildings. It's the parochial house of Ennis. It's the town hall. The room behind us here is a cinema, was the old prison cell, and then a new wing was built in the 1960s.
Yes, I read that the excavation revealed that there was the dungeon below the prison, and that they still had chains and attached to the walls, and they're currently in a museum. Yeah, but much of the old features are retained in this hotel, aren't they?
Absolutely. We have 117 bedrooms, and approximately 40 of them would have been with the original combination of the four buildings, and has just a history that goes back that will never, ever, ever be able to be replaced, really. The lower wing of the hotel is 40 bedrooms, and that's known as the American wing by ourselves. And the reason it's known as the American wing is because in 1950, when the owner of the hotel had his original building, he wanted to extend, so he decided to build a new wing of bedrooms. So he went to the bank manager for a loan. And the bank manager said, well, if I give you this money, who's going to come and stay in all these new bedrooms here in Ennis? And he said, well, there's a new American, there's a new flight going to be coming in from America. And there's this American airline called TWA. And he said, I'm going to get them to come and stay, all their staff and their pilots to come and stay in the Old Ground. And the manager said, well, if you can get TWA to sign up for 5 years in your hotel, I'll give you the money to build the bedrooms. So he got them to sign up. He built the bedrooms and they came and stayed. And henceforth, to this day, the lower part of the hotel is still called the American Wing.
That's only one of many charming stories. How many restaurants are on premise? Give us an idea of the choices people have about eating.
Yeah, as well as a personable interest in the hotels, which we like to convey to our staff, my family would be very much, as they would call Irish foodies. My mother trained, I don't know if you're familiar with the Ballymaloe. My mother trained in the first Ballymaloe cookery course back in the 1980s when she was starting off herself. So she always gave us a great love of food. And here in the Old Ground, for instance, we've got three different dining areas. We've got a very formal wine room restaurant where hopefully you'll join us tonight. We've got the Poets' Corner, which would be very much the locals' business, and it's very much pub grub, gastro-type eating. And then our third element is the conversion of the original town hall here in Ennis, connected to the hotel, and that's known as the Town Hall Bistro, which is very much your casual-style eating here in Ennis. And again, overlooking the main street, so a more fantastic location you won't find. But again, three very different, diverse food types, but very much a heightened sense of an awareness of the quality of what we do.
One of the things that fascinated us, Alan, is that you told us that certainly you grew up in the hotel business, but you decided to go into a completely different business, and the transition from being a CPA with Price Waterhouse to being a hotelier, that must be a little crazy.
Absolutely. I think I did my equivalent of my high school, when I finished high school at 18, I did my leaving cert here, and I was very fortunate to score a very high mark. And my mother always asked me at the time, I said, "Mammy, this is fantastic." And she said, "Why is that fantastic?" I said, "Because, you know, these kind of results in my leaving cert, it means I never have to go into the hotel business." So I followed a career. I did an economics and a degree, and I got a scholarship to do a master's in New York. And when I went to New York to do my master's, I was by Price Waterhouse, and I found myself really thinking I would be there for 18 months, 2 years, spending a full 10 years in New York, which, again, talk about a love of food. You're never going to find a better city for that. And I think it was just almost at the end of about 7 or 8 years with Price Waterhouse, it was almost like the 7-year itch, and I had just hit about 30 years of age. And I decided I'd come home for maybe a short spell and maybe think about moving back to the West Coast. But I think the love of the country got the better of me when I got home then when I was 30. And a very small coincidence, but the hotel here, the Old Ground, came up for sale. And it was a hotel that had a great love in my family for all our lives. And had it not come up for sale at the time, I could certainly see myself either being in New York or San Francisco. But it was just the love of the country and the hotel here that I found a great growth for, and I said, sure, it was worth a try. So that's really how I started. So it was from basically 53rd on Lexington Avenue to O'Connell Street in Ennis.
And this is an amazing little community. I don't know how large the town of Ennis is. Probably not very. You can tell me in just a second. But it's in such a wonderful location to tour. So we made a tour to the west and south today to cover the southern part of County Clare. And tomorrow we're headed in the opposite direction, to the Burren and the Cliffs of Moher, and another swing through the northern part of Clare. So it's so scenic. It's so beautiful, the intersection of the land and the water, the Shannon Estuary on one side and the Atlantic on the other.
Truly, and I'm not just saying it, but I think I'm a very fortunate person, although, as I said, I have no connections with County Clare. My parents were from Leitrim, and I grew up in Dungarvan, County Waterford, so I have no affinity. But I truly believe that I'm one of the luckiest people in the world that I get to live in a county like this, and it's certainly a town like Ennis. We're 15 minutes from an international airport. I'm an hour from Galway City, which I consider to be one of the most vibrant cities in Europe. And then within 20 to 25 minutes, I can be in the middle of the Burn, which is one of the most natural stone heritage sites in the world. Or I can be walking on the Cliffs of Moher, or walking along a beach in Lahinch. Again, you've got two of the greatest golf course, top 10 links courses in the world at both Doonbeg and Lahinch. So, I mean, truly, it's a place for every type of individual. And I think that is what's unique about the county. It's just the diversity of what you can do, but the diversity of the types of people that live here as well.
So put County Clare on your list, folks. And you also won't have to ask the question, where are you going to stay? The only question will be, will you be able to get a room at the old ground hotel, and one thing we noticed, this is not just a place where people stay. This is a gathering place for the entire community. I suspect, but tell me I'm right or wrong with this, that if you want to meet someone in Ennis on a Sunday, you come to lunch at the Old Ground Hotel.
That's correct. I just happened to be at a funeral mass there about 3 weeks ago, of a man in his 80s who had died. And he had actually worked here as a porter for 48 years. And his family gave a beautiful eulogy where they stood up and they said that, you know, for all our lives, when we used to go to father at work, he said, we thought that we actually owned the hotel. But he said, you know, sometimes you just think that the Old Ground these type of premises, I actually sometimes feel I'm just minding it for the people of County Clare because they hold it that close to their own heart. And it makes the fabric of the hotel as great as it is. And I like to think that we've instilled that both from what I got from my parents, but also the tradition of the hotel as well has worked.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. We're delighted that we connected with Flynn Hotels with the opportunity to come and explore one of the lovely properties that they own. I'm sure the others are great, but this must be the one that's closest to your heart, I think.
Yeah, I think it's just the tradition, and basically, as I said, when you're dealing with something that's 118 years old, up and running. The other properties, my brother John and Pierce is very much based in the hotel in Dungarvan, and John in Cork, and then the new acquisition that we had, the new park in the last 5 years. So each of us hold one of them to our hearts and kind of work with it from there then.
And don't go away, because for those of you who love golf, we have a very special destination coming up right after the break.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Well, on the spur of the moment, we really couldn't get totally organized for our next stop, but we had heard that there was a new chef at this golf resort called Dunebeg. It was his day off, and you know, things do not always work out. We did get to interview the bar manager.
Yeah, Desmond Hayes, bar manager, was a very effective substitute.
But it'd be interesting to go back there sometime because this new chef was a hot shot and he was going to revamp all the menus. And it was quirky because in the midst of all this was our server who was American. Where was she from?
I forget now.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask you, do you remember the name of the pub we went to that we liked so much?
Yes.
Was that
yes.
before or after?
Let me do two things. First of all, the place that we stopped for lunch, we had extraordinarily creditable fish and chips, which we ate the whole thing.
The chips, French fries, were hand cut and twice fried fresh to order.
And the fish was fresh haddock with the beer batter on it. And the place,
wonderful.
The name of the place was Vaughan's Pub.
Vaughan's Pub, okay.
In Liscannor. And it's important to know where it is because it's on the way to a site that you will undoubtedly want to see in Clare County, the Cliffs of Moher, M-O-H-E-R, which looks like about the most popular place you can go
in the whole world
of Ireland. There were tour buses galore there even in the middle of October.
What?
So it's obviously a busy place during the summertime.
In this pub, it's like all the traditional pubs you've ever wished for.
Yeah.
Everybody sitting around conversing in Gaelic. I mean, it was the real deal. Yeah.
Anyway, let's not forget
Desmond Hayes
and Dunebeg. Oh, there's another connection I should make to here, and I might forget it by the time we get to the end. The chef at Raw Sushi in the Sky at the Radisson came from Dunebeg.
Oh, okay.
That's where he was working before he went into Galway.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember that or not.
No, I did not remember.
Well, there you go.
That.
Well,
never even knew it.
I actually managed to remember something for a change. Anyway, Desmond, we knew we'd get around to you eventually, so here you are. Some people think St. Andrews in Scotland is the home of golf. We have news for all you guys. We're in Western Ireland. I'll have Dermot Hayes in just a second say exactly where we are. But it's golf heaven. The sun is shining. The grass is green. The wind is blowing. The temperature's about 50 degrees. What else could you want? And we landed up here actually looking for a chef, and found a bar and a charming gentleman called Dermot who runs the bar in the restaurant, which I'm going to ask him to name next. But first of all, Dermot, where are we?
You're in the west of Ireland in a little place called Dunebeg Village. And just outside Dunebeg Village, we have a golf club called Dunebeg Golf Club. And so we're in County Clare, and we have two restaurants here. We have Darby's Bar, we have the Long Room, and we have the Members Bar.
And we're sitting in Darby's right now, and just outside, I'm looking over to the North Atlantic, and the next thing to the west is where?
Nearest thing to the west is New York.
I have news for you, Dermot. As a geographer, I can tell you that it's the island of Newfoundland and Labrador, where it's really much colder than it is here. Today is a delightful day. It is not like this every day, but when it's a day like this, it's just heaven for golfers, isn't it, Dermot? One of the reasons that we picked out this place to come, aside from the fact that we're staying close by and it looked like a beautiful place to go, is that there's been a recent and very interesting changeover in the kitchen, which is going to mean different things in the long room and derbies over time. So introduce us, first of all, new chef whose day off it is today, and then you can talk some more about what you think he might be doing with the kitchen here.
We had a chef called, he's just taken over from a new chef, and his name is Heiko. He's from Germany. He came from Sheen Falls, and he's just coming into a transition now at the moment, and he's going to make a lot of changes here, more fresh products going to be on the menu. Like, we have the Atlantic here, more fish. We have good beef here around the west of Ireland here with lovely salt grass, and it's going to be so he's going to have a lot of ideas here at the moment. Today's his day off, and you'll probably hear a lot more from him because you can't beat west of Ireland.
Now, Dermot, you wouldn't possibly be from around here, I suppose.
Oh, I only just live here about 20 minutes away, a small village called Innes, County Clare. It's just about maybe 15 minutes away from Shannon Airport, so we're very close.
Well, we're actually staying in Innes, so we're about to find out just exactly how close it is. Now, Dermot wanted to point out to us, aside from the golf and aside from the restaurants, there's a very special Irish experience that you can enjoy here that he's especially proud of. Dermot, tell us about that.
We're awfully proud of a little gem that we have here in our stone cottage. And what happens is you all gather here in the main lobby here of Dunbeg Golf Club. And we bring you down, and the ladies or the women will get a shawl, and the men will get a cap, and they'll experience a journey down to the stone cottage, and they'll be welcomed in by a guy called Pat Ahern, and he's the Shanachie, and he's the main man of the house. And what he does, he tells a lot of stories. And then from that, we have a lot of set dancers. We get the audience up to set dance, and then we would have Irish music, and then we would have more dancers. And then we would serve a stew from the fireplace here, and from after that, then you would have fresh mackerel from the Atlantic, and we would serve it on pans fresh out of sea, and then we'd have dessert. And that would go on for about 2 hours, and it's just all entertainment. And most important is we try and get the audience involved. They could have singers in the audience or some storytelling, so it's very, very exciting.
And then after that, if they still have time, they can come to Dermot's Bar and sit back and enjoy. And what might they relax with, you think, after that?
Probably we'll have a couple of pints of Guinness, maybe some Irish coffees. Or we have a lovely couple of good brands of Jameson whiskey here that they would try. They would just sit down and just experience the atmosphere that they just came from the stone cottage.
So there's a little bit of golf, there's a little bit of fine dining, there's a little bit of the Irish experience. There's beautiful green grass, there's beautiful blue sky on some days. It's not like this every day, Dermot, right?
It's not like this every day, but when it does shine, no better place to be in the west of Ireland.
Has there been any talk of there being any major golf tournaments here? The course was designed, I think, by somebody fairly celebrated in the world of golf. But have they thought about bringing any super important events here?
There's always talk about bringing something here. It's just finalizing it because sometimes here that the golf course is very, very tight because it's backing up to far as the beach. So maybe trying to find standing room would be our problem here, but they'll always come over that.
Oh, I see what you said. The issue is where are people going to be able to watch? Not where people are going to be able to golf. Now, it looks fairly difficult. Would that be right? There's a little wind. There's just a little terrain that's a little rough. The grass growing as high as an elephant's eye.
The fairways are very generous here. Now, you know, on the grass side of things there, it is very long. A lot of dunes, a lot of walking. But, you know, the wind is at your back going out and it's against you coming in. So it is very, 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 very difficult the last nine.
Well, we're hoping to catch up with Chef one of these days. In the meantime, Dermot, we thank you so much for welcoming us here to Darby's Bar and to joining us and talking to our audience. A last thought for our listeners around the world?
You know where we are. We're here in the west of Ireland in Dunbeg, a golf course called Dunbeg Golf Club. Don't forget, if you're ever passing by, make sure you call in and see us, okay?
Now, I'm going to spell that out. It's D-O-O-N-B-E-G. I would call it Dunbeg
Dermot, of course, is pronouncing it properly. And it's located about a 40-minute drive from Limerick, about a 40-minute drive from Ennis? Okay, so you've got an idea that lots of attractions around here, some absolutely beautiful scenery. But if you're into golf, or you can bring along your family, you'll find something else to do as well if they're not into golf. It looks like a great place to go, and we'll just have to come back.
The most important thing is, we have a lot of entertainment here for anyone who doesn't play golf. We have a lovely village here as well called Dunbeg Village. They have Irish music on several nights. We have a spa here as well. So we can cater for everything.
Thank you so much, and say goodbye in Irish.
Slán.
So there you are, listeners, a taste of three of the counties in Western Ireland, starting off with County Donegal, then with County Mayo, and finally with County Clare. And, of course, we covered County Galway in our last program. And we'll be back in County Galway again for part of next week's show, so don't forget to tune in, and we'll see you same time, same place.
Bye-bye.